Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 is on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and I'm joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDentric on the Twitter machine for him. Bubba, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful day. I'm having a good time. Baseball is cranking up. Baseball games, spring training games start tomorrow. So we're alive and kicking. It's good times.
That's right. I'm excited for Welsh and I are going on Tuesday.
Nice.
And our guy Chad is bringing me up a brisket from Tucson as well.
Living the dream, my friend. Living the dream.
It's going to be baseball and brisket in the same day. I don't know what pandemic.
When you have that, there's no pandemic. Everything's right in the world.
Yeah, this is heaven. So yes. it's fine. It's fine. You know, the weather's great. I'm getting free grub. Fun baseball game. It's going to be great. But before we dive into baseball, I need to know, because I'm obviously confused. I'm not hip with Twitter. I'm not hip with trends and things like that. Bub, you know, you're more on Twitter than I am. I think I'm probably more on Instagram for obvious reasons than you are. And that's also why I'm single. But the NBA Top Shots. Have you seen these, and have you partaken in buying them?
Have you seen these? I'm not going to say what I was going to compare it to, but if you're on Twitter, you see them everywhere. No, I have not partake. I watched the festivities behind it, like 50,000 plus people get in line for a chance to purchase 1,000 total packs. It's pretty entertaining stuff. I haven't figured out the whole philosophy behind it. I was told it's kind of like virtual trading card. Like eventually you can put them in a frame and stuff. And I'm like, okay, it still sounds kind of weird to me. but like some of these I saw, you know, different highlights. I didn't even see what the highlights look like. I just see like the picture, and it sold for like $30,000. I mean, some go for six figures. Like some of these are going for like the release on Thursday. They're called the rare packs. They're $99 a pack. Apparently, like you could sell all of them for four figures plus if you wanted to. Like that's like the stock market for trading images, I guess.
All right. Yeah. The Welsh and I kind of dwelled on that a little bit, you know, because I'm dumb and I don't know what it is, but they canceled the one on Thursday. So we'll see if it's going to be coming back soon. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about this. You know, got to clean it up with Bubba, and then we'll be talking about some baseball. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, Buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Boggan. I'm joined by Bubba, my friend, Casey Bubba, the new tout man, Casey Bubba, as well. Please tell everyone where they can find all of your great work on the interwebs, Bub.
Yeah, as usual, Twitter at BDentric. Check it all out there. The Bench with Bubba podcast ramping up pretty good now as the season's approaching. We'll have some DFS content we'll be doing together, plus my little side projects podcast wise. So we'll have a few of those going for you weekly and daily. And then I have written content at fantasysportsdegens.com and rotoballer.com. So Get all your goods there. You got golf. You got the fantasy black book. It never stops, as Bogman knows. If you listen to this show, you know ITL doesn't stop. So I'm a smaller member of the ITL Army for life, and it was good to see Welsh get into tout as well. I was pretty funny because of the tweet he made, like, "Hey, look at us. Look at us."
Yes, congrats on that. We'll circle back, of course. Yeah. But so we were talking during the break, and you said you had an interaction on Twitter that was civil, and people just explained how everything went and what happened for you. So how did your Twitter conversation come up?
Well, let me start with, it was 6 a.m. Pacific time. I was waiting for the baby to wake up. So it was 9 Eastern. So most of the riffraff probably wasn't awake from their mom's basement yet. So we had that going for us.
Are you saying that all people that sleep in late are riffraff? Is that what you're trying to say here, Bob?
No, you don't sleep in your mom's basement. So there's a difference.
No, I don't.
The Top Shots deal, all I said was, hey, I'm not trying to start anything. I'm curious on what's the appeal. How can they get sold for so much money? What's going on? Because to me, like, you can see these clips on YouTube and stuff. Well, I guess they're broken down. They're serial numbered. And so I said, okay, well, baseball cards are serial numbered to a certain number. So what's the difference? And they said, well, you could, you know, take a picture off the internet and post it on cardboard and say you have it, just like you're saying, you could do it on YouTube. And I'm like, yeah, it's a little different though. Like, I don't have the quality of product to make a baseball card. So they kept trying to explain it. They said, think about the way technology is going now. You can buy these clips. I don't even know how long they are. I've never even seen one active. I've only seen the pictures. And basically, it's the idea of soon other sports are coming up to do, like MMA, UFC's got a deal, NFL's working on a deal. And you basically, you know, like, there's those digital picture frames. You can have something like that around your house. Like, hey, you walk by and there's just like clips going off. And I'm like, it doesn't really sound appealing to me, but I guess it is to other people. I don't know. But like, the best thing I can say is, it's kind of like the stock market. You can play it and ride it while it's good. And then it might, you know, like someone said, the best, there's always someone to get held or caught holding the bag. It's just going to happen. But a lot of guys are making a lot of money on it right now. So rock it while it's hot. It's kind of like, you know, the Bitcoin crypto stuff. Like, these guys are rocking with it. So if you got the money, I guess have some fun. But I still don't 100% get it. Like, I haven't even gotten in line to buy them yet, because I just literally, it's like basically holding a GIF on your phone or something. I just don't see myself sitting there watching GIFs on my phone. I don't get it, but some people love it. So more power to them. I got other things I'll spend my money on. I know you have other things you'll spend your money on, but
I signed up. Yeah. For Top Shots, not because I want them, but because people are making money on them right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm going to be like, oh, I got my Top Shots now, I'm going to go get my digital picture frame. You know, that's not me. So
that's why I didn't talk trash on anybody. I said, hey, if you can do it, more power to you. But my other concern is, it's extremely difficult, if almost impossible for now, to pull your money off of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, whatever your hobby is, as long as it's legal, right? Like, that's to each their own.
Yes.
Everyone has weird, different hobbies, and, you know, to each their own, of course. But so the video that my buddy sent me basically explained it kind of like art trading. Like, if you buy an original, it's going to have all of this encoding and stuff printed on the canvas itself. That's kind of what is going on here. And just like regular trading cards, you're going to get, you know, 1 of 500, 1 of 50, 1 of 1, however it is. You know what I mean? So that's where I was getting confused. I'm like, so what are you buying? Like a clip from the NBA? Of course not. No, the NBA is not going to sell their clips.
Well, they're partnering with the NBA, I think. No.
Right. They're partnering with the NBA, but it's their moments, but it's not like
you now hold
this highlight.
And, yeah, that's how I thought
ESPN has to come to you for it or whatever.
That's what I thought it was at first. It's like, you bought this clip, so now I can't even search YouTube for it or something. That's what I thought at first. I'm like, okay, now I see why it's going for so much money.
Right.
But no, that was not it.
That's like a little impossible.
And like 999 other people have the same one I have, but it's cool. Right.
I mean, they're going to start doing this with all kinds of other, not just sports too. It's going to be, I'm sure Marvel is going to have some, and Disney and all that stuff.
Oh, when baseball does it, I'll be intrigued. And they said the next one is UFC. And honestly, as a UFC fan, that might be the perfect venue for it. Like, I can see a picture frame of having like knockouts in a row, just like boom. But like, that can be kind of entertaining slightly.
What you're saying is, you're going to put together a compilation of these clips.
That's kind of what it sounds like you're doing, because you're like, for the basketball ones, you can kind of search for your favorite teams and favorite players. So I guess you'd serve, say, for UFC, you could go search for your favorite fighters or like top knockouts you liked, something like that. I don't know. But
I mean, I love compilations. So
I know. That's what I'm saying. When it keeps advancing, you know, you'll have it. You don't even have to touch a button anymore, Bogman. It just works for you.
That's right. All right. Enough of hot shots, whatever it is. I'm sure people are, because Welsh and I talked about it too, so they're probably bored to death. But I want to talk about the Spencer Torkelson injury that he had during spring training here. Cut his finger, going to miss, I don't know, maybe a week or something. I don't know. Maybe longer. Sometimes those, it depends on how deep he cut himself on his finger. But it was with a can opener, which I love these baseball injuries. I don't love them, but you have to laugh. You know, I feel bad for the guy. You know, it's bad enough you cut yourself with a can opener. Now you have, it's news. It's literally news. Like if you and I do something stupid like that, nobody cares. You put a Band-Aid on it, you go about your day. But this dude is in the news now because he cut his finger with a can opener. Have you ever made a blunder like that in the kitchen? What have you cut yourself? I mean, I know I've like ripped my finger up trying to pry a beer bottle off the wrong way when I was like, you know, too young to drink, but I mean, don't want to give out ages here, but young not able to drink. But I don't know. I've never like cut myself with a knife or anything while cooking.
I haven't done anything too serious, but I've nicked myself. Like I've had to like stop the bleeding real quick, but nothing crazy. And usually it's when I'm cleaning and drying off the knife, not the actual cutting of things. I'm in a group that does barbecues for like fundraisers, and there's a guy we don't let cut anything anymore. Because like usually
his,
we'll get like
his nickname
like,
is Old Three Fingers
pretty so. Much like we'll get long like loaves of like sourdough bread and cut them in half to like, you know, toast them for garlic bread and stuff, and he cut it one time and just sliced like his whole like hand. So he's not allowed anymore, but yeah, no, I've never done anything bad. I'm not Jeremy Affeldt trying to get apart frozen hamburger patties or anything like that, so yeah, nothing that crazy
about that. Yeah, I remember Clint Barmas like screwed up his shoulder carrying deer meat up the stairs. Yep. Like, there's so many of these stupid, history of baseball injuries. I remember Sammy Sosa couldn't participate in the home run derby because he slept on his shoulder weird or something.
Sammy Sosa hurt his back by sneezing in the locker room.
Yeah, I've heard my
back sneeze. I understood.
Honestly,
once I got older, I understood.
right. Yeah. That's something because that happened when we were probably 15 or 16.
Yeah, exactly. When he did it, I'm like, what?
Sneezing? Are you kidding me? You hurt your back sneezing. And then like the first time you get there where you sneeze real hard and something wrenches and you're like, oh, God.
Just like feel this like weird like pulse go down your whole body. You're just like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm old. Got it, Sammy. Yeah,
it's definitely a weird torque that's going on there. So you start to get it as you get older, but these guys are in prime. They're not fat guys like us. No. You know, they're not sitting around in their chair with their gut and stuff. I mean, they're out there every day busting their ass and training
stuff. I guess if you're the Tigers, though, you're like, well, I get to do roster manipulation without having to do roster manipulation. So we're good.
Yeah. See, this is why. It's because you showed that you're immature and don't know how to cook. Now, look, to be fair, I wouldn't get a cooking injury because I rarely ever cook. You know what I mean? And when I do, it's not that involved.
I'd love to know what it was. It was like SpaghettiOs, Chef Boyardee. What was it?
Yeah. That sounds like some white trash, low rent stuff that I would do. Like, I was opening up my clam chowder and the lid got me. So, but we got it in a break. When we come back, I promise we'll talk about real baseball stuff. So stick with us in this league on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
in this league.
Talk about www.com, you made it go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
The
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. If you would, please check out the In This League Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, where you can find all kinds of goodies over there. I do live streams at least once a week. I've got ranks up there. The Welsh has his baseball ranks, his prospect ranks. I'm working on my football dynasty ranks and my NFL draft ranks, all that good stuff. We have GroupMe rooms for everybody. So much fun. Just started filling in the entry leagues today, bub. So nice. Getting the ALNL Masters Leagues going on and the head-to-head roto. So we're having a good time over at In This League. And a lot of stuff. I mean, look, you know who's having a great time is Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Ooh, baby.
42 pounds, man.
But is he? Is he really? If he lost 42 pounds, are you having a great time?
I mean, he's got to feel better.
He looks
42
great.
Pounds. You got to feel so much better. You know,
some may say the best shape of his life.
Nah, well, it probably for real is. But, you know, we were talking about that earlier on the show, too. Like, it's hard not to get wrapped up in those, you know, because we're right here before games. So when the games start going tomorrow, you know, will be less distracted by best shape of their life. And this guy added a new pitch and blah, 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 blah. It'll be all about the on-field results, of course. But where do you draw the line at the best shape of their lives? Like this one for Vlad seems pretty legit, but then we hear Avisel Garcia's dropped 20 pounds. There's plenty of other guys are working on new stuff. Do you just wait to see what the results in spring training are, or do you kind of buy into this even a little bit?
I guess I'm waiting to see. Like, Vlad looks phenomenal. Avi looked great. I saw him hitting batting practice. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That doesn't look like the chubby little Mickey Jr. we used to know. it was good. But I guess I'm kind of, you know, spiteful because I remember when one Kung Fu Panda was in the best shape of his life. We saw how that turned out. He was bigger than he used to be like 2 months into the season. So I kind of believe it when I see it. But these guys look great. They're young. They needed it. Someone said it best. It's kind of scary that a 21-year-old needed to lose 42 pounds, but that's a whole nother story. So, but I'm happy for him. He looks awesome. I hope he can play third base because that might help Rowdy Tellez out, but that's a whole can of worms.
I'm trying to think. Could I have lost 42 pounds? I think I would have looked sickly if I lost 42 pounds when I was 21.
When I was 21, I was drinking too much Coors Light to lose 42 pounds. It was not possible.
Yeah, I mean, I was right there with you.
Yeah, it was. I learned when I've lost the most weight I've ever lost. So I gave up drinking, and I was like, yeah, it's amazing how much the pounds come off after college.
Yeah, yeah, the sodas too. The soda, like all my shirts fit better now that I've pretty much given up. Like I do, I'll occasionally do like a, you know, Sprite Zero or something like that. But
treat yourself.
Treat yourself. That's right. Parks and Rec, one of my favorite shows of all time. Treat yourself. God, that was great. Now, you're in tout this year. So tell us about how you found out and, you know, your excitement level. This is pretty huge, obviously.
Yeah, no. I woke up, Monday or Tuesday morning, it had to be Tuesday. And I just opened my phone. I saw I had a message from Jeff Erickson. I'm like, what's he sending me? Like a late night message. Bogman's my only friend that usually I wake up to text messages from. Like, who are these people?
You up?
And you up. But I opened it up and he asked if I was interested in this new format they're doing. And I'm like, yes. Like, I've explained it to a few people because there's a lot of backlash out there these days about expert leagues. And I'm like, no, they're analyst leagues. Like, we're not experts. We're analysts. That's what we do. But like Boggs knows if you've done this long enough, like when you started doing it, I remember listening to SiriusXM and you listen to Tout, you listen to Labor, and it was like, that was it. Like you were thinking, okay, this is the kind of mecca type deal, at least when it came to doing analyst stuff. Not everybody feels that way, but I thought it was pretty cool. So when I was asked, it was a pretty much no-brainer for me, and I'm pretty pumped on it. And then to see a lot of good friends and people get in as well, it's pretty cool because it was getting kind of a bad rap for a while. Not bad, like it was a bad thing, but a lot of older guys, a lot of guys that weren't really doing it. So they brought a lot of new blood in there and kind of mixed things up. So it's going to be kind of fun to see how it all plays out from here.
Now, if they could just do that with the Hall of Fame votes, right? You know.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Put Jeff Erickson in charge of it, and it'll turn out way better. I can tell you that. Yeah.
Well, I know Justin Mason had a massive influence on this, and like most things, I owe him a big debt of gratitude. But he talked to these guys about a lot of us, I think, and kind of gave him the 2 cents about putting us in. So that was cool. And Yeah, we'll see how it goes. The Hall of Fame, yeah, man, butchering everything, just so bad, so bad.
I mean, it's just so weird that no one gets in a year. You know what I mean? That's just crazy to me. But you know, that's the way baseball has always kind of been. So I am going to be participating in Tout, but I am going to be a teammate with Joe Pisapia this year. So
beautiful.
You know,
so I was hoping that was going to work because I was supposed to help him in labor, and that didn't happen for some certain reasons. And then he's like, well, you can do Tout with me. And then
you got invited to Tout.
I was like, yeah, I don't think I can anymore. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. So I'm going to help out Joey P because I think he just doesn't like the place that they run it on. So
it's weird. Like we draft on FanTrax and they run it on some website I've never heard of before.
Yeah. I think it's on Roto, One Roto, something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. Which one are you in?
I think it's an auction one. So
he
sent me the info. He said we're going to do a Zoom auction. So that's going to be, I think it might be the same day that I'm doing my head-to-head Roto ITL Entry League draft. So that might just be a full baseball day for me. You know what I mean?
Those ones are the Saturday and Sunday, like the third week in March or something, 20-something. So
yeah, I think it might be the 20th. So
Because I know Welsh is Sunday night.
This morning. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. Because when they originally hit him up, he wasn't actually going to have time to do it because he had some stuff already scheduled up with his family for that weekend. But because he got in the late one, he's going to be good to go.
Oh, nice, nice. Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm happy for you guys, obviously, you know, raking in new followers and all that stuff, joining in Tout. So very, very happy for you. But let's talk about some of this other news. Now, I'm not sure where you stand on Jordan Alvarez, right? And Welsh loves him, especially at the deal he's coming at this year. I'm more like, you know, whoever it was that you said was telling you about the it's kind of strange that a 21-year-old needs to lose 42 pounds. For me, it's kind of, why does a 23-year-old need to have knee surgery and chronic problems already? I really don't like that stuff. It helps that he's a DH, you know, and he plays in the AL, so he can do that. But he was full running at spring training the other day. So are you buying him because he's a nice deal, or are you avoiding him because of the knee stuff and only two games last year?
Yeah, I'm avoiding him. Last draft season, I said the same thing I'll say now, is he's already got knee problems. I'm not playing the game. And people said last year, oh, he's a DH. It's fine. We played two games. I think they're taking it easy with him, but he ran for one day. He didn't do anything for 2 days. And it's kind of like there's a point where he's 23, and if he's going to need 2 days off all the time, what are we doing here? Like I know they're taking it easy, so we'll see in the coming weeks how things go, but I'm still going to pass. Like he's for one, he's DH only, which if I'm at where he's going in the draft, you can get Nelly Cruz later, you get JD Martinez later. I'll take my chances there. I know they're older and JD's coming off a rough year. He's already talked about his issues. Jordan, if he's healthy, could be a beast, but you know, so could a handful of other guys. And I'm just going to pass and let someone else enjoy it if they do, but I'm seriously concerned about the well-being of Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah, I'm. It's going to be a pass. It's going to be a no for me too, dog. I'm not in to Jordan Alvarez whatsoever at all. Now, this one was interesting. Luis Rojas said on Tuesday that Edwin Diaz may be the guy that gets most chances for the saves. And he's going off as like the third or fourth closer off the board here. So, I mean, is this concerning or is this all spring training talk nonsense?
I'd say it's like 75% spring training talk, 25%. Like I'm not over the moon concerned, but there is some because the Mets made a lot of moves to shore up their bullpen. So they have guys here that can't close. That's the concerning part. We saw Diaz slip up at times, but last year he pitched very well. It's going to be his job out the gate. As long as he's Edwin Diaz, he'll be fine. But I don't think he's going to have as long a leash as he had a couple of years ago because of the moves they made and the team's ready to contend, the starting rotation they have, the bats they have. They can't be wasting, you know, 5-6 wins on some blown saves because they want Edwin Diaz to figure it out. So I think that's more what he's saying. But I think we're going to see it with a lot of teams. We're seeing a lot of, especially contending teams. They're all deep. Like, look at the Padres, for crying out loud. They have like four guys that used to close. So we're going to get a mess all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be that. And that's why I think that these top end closers are going higher and higher. Every single time we do a mock, they go higher and higher.
It's higher.
every single time. any interest in drafting Ohtani for as a pitcher at all?
Nope. Okay. I won't draft him anywhere unless it's a daily league, for one, and two, I wish he'd just hit for like a year, get completely healthy, because if he's going to pitch, that means there's 2 days off a week guaranteed, the day before, the day after the start. And then when he's hitting, it's just a mess all over. And we even saw a couple of years ago when he was supposed to pitch every Sunday, we're going to skip him this week. So if you had a weekly league, you put him in hoping he'd pitch and he wouldn't pitch. He's just too much of a headache for what he has right now. I'm going to pass.
Man. Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's fair. And the last little bit of baseball news, because we're going to be talking some football when we come back here. Nick Senzel leading off, or ooh, not leading baby. Off, playing, excuse me, playing center
every field. Day.
Every day. How much does this raise him? But got about 30 seconds.
It raises him a lot. Now, the thing is, do you believe it? Because they still have Winker and they have Shogo, and I'll let the Welsh sing that song. But if Senzel plays every day, he has legit 20-20 upside, and that raises him quite a bit, like close to Laureano fan range for me, potentially higher.
Yeah, he's going off at 270 right now. So
he's like a 130-ish, probably. Like
yeah. Legit. Come way, way up. So we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to hear what Bubba has to say about these new Russell Wilson things. And should you leave a trade offer on a voicemail? So stick with us. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I am Scott Bogman here. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports with Bubba at BD Entrick on the Twitter machine. I got to know your thoughts on Russell Wilson, because now this is turning into, you know, what we heard before was Brandon Marshall. And I mean, maybe he's right at this point, but Brandon Marshall was saying he's trying to get out of Seattle, but he's trying to do it in a classy way. He's not going to demand a trade. You know, and all this stuff. Then the other day, I think on Thursday, we find out that he had a dust up with the coaching staff before the Cardinals game that they lost on that Thursday night. And, you know, ever since then, and you could kind of see it in the gameplay too, where the offense was carrying them in the whole first half. In the second half, when Jamal Adams came back and everything, their defense was playing much, much better than their offense was. So, it seems like that might have been the tipping point on this team. And I don't know what you do if you're Seattle. He's from what we've heard from his camp, which I hate that we have to use that, you know, his camp. Just speak up like a man. I hate this nonsense. But anyway, you know, what we've heard from his side is he has not requested a trade. But if the Seahawks want to look to trade him, he would only accept it to four different teams. And I believe they were New Orleans, Chicago, the Raiders, and was it the Patriots? I can't remember the other one.
Miami.
Miami. That's what it was. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to live in Miami, for God's sake? Yep. So those are the teams that, of course, you would remember Miami. Those are the teams that he would accept a trade to. What do you think this is? Do you think this is they're getting ready to deal him and this is what we're getting at? Or is this this is all smoke? There's no fire here. And, you know, Russell Wilson's going to be on the Seahawks come week one.
I think there's still a good chance he's on the Seahawks week one, because I think the asking price is going to be pretty astronomical, especially with Deshaun Watson out there. And that makes it tricky. Like when I saw the Miami's name was on there and there's interest in Miami, I was like, I swear to God, if the Dolphins trade Tua and other picks for Wilson and not Deshaun Watson, this is going to feel like Culpepper Breeze all over again.
But hold on. Back up there for 1 second. Because what if the Texans just actually do refused to trade Watson. We'll get into that scenario in a second, but if Watson doesn't get dealt, but the Dolphins trade for Russell Wilson, would you still feel that way?
No, but I think Watson gets dealt. So that's just where my head's at. Like, if he doesn't get dealt, then sure. Yes, you're 100% correct there. Then that's fine. But at that point, it's like we have an aging Russell Wilson that's costing a fortune. At least Watson was younger. Just stick with two and build with your draft picks at that point. That's the way I see it. Like, obviously, they're close. Wilson has a few more years. He could probably make the push. So it's tough. But give me Watson or give me death type thing. So it's tough right now. But Wilson, I think it's true. He wants out. He's going to let his feelings be known. And we'll see. It's just, I think they're going to ask for quite a bit for an older quarterback. And that's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, we just saw Matt Stafford get traded and they got Jared Goff and 3 first round picks. So, you know, what's the asking price on a Super Bowl champ going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be steep. It's going to be very steep. That's the problem.
Unbelievable. So yeah, I don't think he goes anywhere. And I honestly, what I said with the Welsh earlier is, you know, the oldest head coach in the NFL and Pete Carroll. If it's for me, if I'm the owner of the Seahawks and it's between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, see you, Pete. I know he's a good coach, but he's not going to be around that much longer anyway as a coach. So
go chew your gum somewhere else.
Yeah, go do it somewhere else. And look, I don't know if he could go back to college football, but I'm sure an NFL team would hire him next year. So, and he can go to TV easily too. He's a big personality, so he'd have to spit that gum out when he's on camera. Yeah. But you know,
well, you never know. You could drink in the booth like Buck and Aikman, so it's cool.
I didn't even read that because
I already knew about it.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
He said it on Barstool Sports like over like 1 or 2 years ago, because he's become good buddies with Big Cat and PFT. And he flat out told him, he's like, I learned it from my dad. I have one drink before I broadcast all the time.
Well, it probably helps for his nerves.
That's what he said. He's like, I need it. And that's how I can just be loosened and, you know, call a game.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think I'm over like the hammering on Joe Buck stuff.
I love him. Ever since I heard him on that show and then on Brockmire, I'm a Buck fan.
Yeah. I don't know that I love him. I'm not going to call myself a fan, but he's fine. Like, you know, plenty of people complain about a lot of these announcers. And look, Booger was a disaster on Monday Night Football. He was not good. And the Booger Mobile was a terrible idea, which I don't think was his. So I'm not going to blame on him, but it was awful, you know. And the Monday Night Football booth has needed to be, straightened out for a while. So it got better last year. So we'll see if it's going to be good. Like last year, it was. I don't know if it was. I wouldn't call it good. I wouldn't call it bad. I would say they presented the game fine. You know, I'm not going to Monday Night Football looking for a classic call from the
never.
That they had. But it was fine. It wasn't annoying like Jason Witten and Anthony McFarlane
pulling rabbits out of his head.
Right. Exactly. Now this Patriots. This Texans situation, which. During the break, you lamented wanting to talk about the Texans at all. Now, I guess the new GM here, Castellari, I can't remember how to say his name, but he's not even answering the phone for these trade offers. And teams have been leaving trade offers in voicemails. I mean, what could he possibly be doing? Or is he getting so many calls that it almost feels like someone gave out his phone number? You know, online or something, like he lost a bet that Jimmy Butler was going to get traded midseason and had to give his phone number out. I don't know what idiot would have done that, but, you know, is it something like that? What is happening here?
I don't know. He better be busy at like one of Robert Kraft's favorite places in Florida, because there's there's no reason to not answer the phone for the situation. You're running this team into the ground. J.J. Watt just left. Deshaun obviously doesn't want to come back. Like, he's probably just going to say, screw it, I'm not coming back, regardless if you trade me or not. You might want to get this thing done. This is bad, like really, really bad. It'd be good to do it before the draft, too. Just going to throw it out there so you can actually make some picks. So I don't know what the heck he's doing. I'd be, like, partially offended if I'm leaving voicemails about, hey, new number, who dis? Like, it's ridiculous what he's – this is not how you run a professional organization. And it epitomizes what has happened to a team that used to be the first Saturday playoff game and lose to not even be able to make the playoffs now. It epitomizes them.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't feel like I'm as upset about the Watson stuff as you are, because if I'm the owner of the Texans or even the GM, I'm not trading Watson. I'm sorry. You know,
but they should say that, not, hey, just leave a voicemail.
That, well, that's kind of what they've said, is that they're not interested in trading him at all. But I think that you at least have to listen to every offer. Now, if they're, you know, if they're getting annoying and calling you all day, every day, and then, you know, now going to the press and saying, well, I can't even get him to answer the phone for me, you know, then he needs to say something. I know you don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but you got to say, like, hey, look, man, I'm sorry. I was, you know, I was with my wife and kids, or I was, you know, with my family or whatever, and I missed one call. It's not like I have multiple. It's not like my voicemail box is filled with all of these Deshaun Watson offers. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? So they got to figure that out, of course, but I'm not trading Watson. And you know, look, you signed a contract. I'm not trading you. You're one of the best players in the NFL. You're going to be the guy to turn us around. You're not going anywhere. Tough. So that's kind of what I would say. I don't think any NFL player really has James Harden leverage. You know what I
mean?
I
just wanted to say, like, the city of Houston's used to this by now. So
yeah. Yeah, like unfortunately.
First, Westbrook's dealt, then Harden. Now Boogie's gone. Like, goodness gracious, sunshine. So, like, you might as well.
And JJ Watt's gone. You know what I mean?
Just keep the train going. And that's where, like, Watson has to be even more mad. JJ got to go. What about me?
Yeah, and JJ's got multiple offers too. He can pick, and him and TJ are having a great time trolling every team. He just puts out like whatever tweet, and it's funny because it's like the first thing I see every morning on Instagram is I follow this this one account that has like all these conspiracy theories. It was like the most, what was the latest one? Is something about my mitochondria. And he was like, oh, yep, there's mitochondria is in this, and it's a sleep clinic in Buffalo. So he's going to Buffalo. Done. And wrap it up. End of story. So all of those are always fun, but they're getting a little goofy. What did you think about Sean McVay saying that he should have done better by Jared Goff in L.A.? Do you buy that? Is this just a guy? Is this just a dude being a good dude? Or are you, because I really kind of don't buy it.
I think he's just trying to do good to kind of clean it up. Like I think he wants to do whatever it takes to get this over with, and they can just focus on 2021. So if I got to say a couple statements, I'm just going to do it. That's why I'm the head coach. You know, they had a rocky road. There's no hiding that. So maybe he could have done a little better in the end. Goff still wouldn't be there anymore. Goff, he had his moments. He's still not that good. Like, I was shocked he was the number one overall pick to begin with, but we'll see. Maybe Detroit's the place for him. McVay did the right thing. It's just, I don't think it's completely sincere.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of got that feeling too, especially if the stuff that, you know, was said about Sean McVay's wife from Jared Goff. Yeah. If that stuff was actually said, there's no way I
crossed the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you leap pole way over that line. So, what about, and I won't lead the witness at all here. But the most recent statement that the Steelers organization has had about Ben Roethlisberger, your thoughts on that?
It's getting bad. Like, honestly, it's got to the point, I think a few weeks ago, oh, there's no question Ben's going to be there, blah, 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 blah. I still think he's going to be there, but things are getting pretty murky in the waters about how this is going to go down. So there might be a point where the ejection comes out and he just goes and plays somewhere else, or he retires, because eventually, he's already said he's going to take less money and do this and that. They're almost getting ready to start dragging him through the mud here pretty soon. So it's getting pretty interesting for a guy of a Ben's stature. Love him or hate him, he's at least earned a little respect in my mind when it comes to be on the field. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and I feel like the Steelers fan base is kind of torn as well, because you know, there's a lot of us that want him to come back because we watched the season of Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges and went through that. And, you know, also I feel like, and I could be wholly and completely wrong here, but I feel like the older fans want Ben to stick by because we remember what it was like with Cordell Stewart and Mike Tomczak and Neil O'Donnell and all these losers, you know what I mean? That are, you know, just couldn't get over the hump. Ben got over the hump, you know, whether it was really, you know, you could say Super Bowl 40 all you want. That wasn't him. That was a great defense and a good running game and a couple big plays and a couple calls. So whatever. Super Bowl 43, he led the comeback, you know. So he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback for sure. So I was just a little surprised by that. Now, the last thing that we'll talk about before we hit the break here is, I just am reading this, the Dolphins and Aaron Jones may have some mutual interest in the offseason here. You are a Dolphins fan. What do you think about that? I mean, Gaskin didn't do too bad last year, but there's been a lot of, you know, speculation that the Dolphins could snatch up a running back with one of their picks in this upcoming draft. So what do you think about potentially signing Aaron Jones instead?
Well, I have some mutual interest in Aaron Jones being a Dolphin. Yes, Gaskin was good. He was hurt a lot, too. His stature kind of brings that on. Jones is a Pro Bowl caliber running back, could be all pro in the right system. Given a back like that to go with two as he tries to develop with the weapons they could draft, I think that's pretty darn good. The only concern I have is don't overpay for a running back. So we'll have to see where that goes because he's going to want to get paid. So
that's that's one of the things, too. If you look, I think they did, you know, after the Super Bowl, it's like the last seven Super Bowl champs and what they pay, physically pay their running backs. None of them are getting, you know, it's like barely over league minimum for those guys. So, and, you know, granted that Tampa Bay won with Leonard Fournette getting paid very little. But we got to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to end out the 3-hour tour. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league, on the Sports Grid, get on the grid. You guys here, Endless Love, you know what that means. It is the end of the 3-hour tour here. Now, Bub, we've had a bunch of stuff happen in the NBA here. They just announced the second half schedule, which the Rockets have lost 9 in a row, and I find out they have the hardest schedule remaining for the second half. So that's, you know, a sinking ship right now. We got the play-in tournament. We got that all organized. That's going to be happening. But we're still going to get an all-star game, and it brings up the conversation of most disrespected player in the NBA. A lot of people putting that on Booker because he didn't initially make the team. He's going to be an injury replacement for Anthony Davis, of course. But do you think it is Booker, or do you have someone else as the most disrespected player in the NBA?
Booker was quite disrespected, and it's kind of been a few years running with him. It feels like he doesn't get the love he deserves. So I see the argument there, and I have no issues with that. Like, he's darn good. I give it to Sabonis.
For him, that's a good one.
For him not making the All-Star team, like, I've talked before, I'm getting more into NBA. Like, I used to be hardcore into it, and this year I've paid much more attention. And that dude is a monster. He is an absolute beast. He's a double-double machine with almost triple-double upside most nights. It's a massive impact when he's not in the lineup for the Pacers. It's well felt. He is the team's MVP, and it's crazy that he did not make the All-Star team. That's a massive disrespect to me.
Yeah, it's you know, he's made Bubba too much money. He's made you too much money to not be disrespected. I'm with you. Sabonis is a really good one. I think Booker's probably a good answer too. But just the fact is, it's the NBA. The All-Star teams are. They don't have giant rosters, so not tough. Everybody's going to make it. Yeah, it's
do they still
disrespected?
Do they still do a requirement that at least one from every team, or do they stop that?
No. They don't. The NBA, didn't have to do that.
No, they used to. Because I remember back in the day, the Kings, Mitch Richmond would make it every year because they had to have one guy.
Richmond was pretty good, though.
Yeah, so, but it was like a lock. Like, that's our guy.
That's our guy, right, exactly. Well, look, that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, you can follow all of us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BDN Trick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Please check out patreon.com/ITL Army. Have a great weekend, everybody. Baseball firing up. So we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.